This morning, I want to talk to you about the power of value and honor. The power of value and honor. And I want to share this because this has been a big thing that the Lord's been dealing with me about, a part of my transformation. And when I went to school at Grace Center, sat under incredible teaching, honor was very important to me, and value was very important to me. And I'm telling you, the thing that I've been hearing from the Lord is preparation. And I believe sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes preparation precedes blessing. What we prepare for, what we speak into, what we declare prepares us for where we're going. So in that process, sometimes preparation we need preventive truths. So this is a preventive or protective heart word that I'm giving you today. So I'm not speaking out of pet peeves or anything like that. It's just, this is something that God's doing in me. And I feel like as a church, as a culture that we're trying to shape here, value and honor are going to be a big part of that. So value and honor go hand in hand. They're actually one and the same, right? But I ask sometimes myself, how important are they to our lives? I mean, what kind of weight do they carry to our church, our community, to our witness, to our heart? And sometimes God sends us what we need, but it's not what we expected. And so we deal with stuff on the way, and honor and value are two things that have to be in place. Because what we thought it would look like, you know, it doesn't, right? So we don't honor it, maybe, or value it, right? What's being offered by God? We may not honor or value where we meet or how we do it. And so God has to change us, and, you know, God gives us a kayak and we wanted a yacht. And sometimes that happens. So keeping the heart that values where you are in the season, that honors where you are in the season, what's being offered, the people you're around, the leadership you have, or whatever that looks like, is very important in the transition of where you're headed. And so this is a preventive and protective heart word. And I want to start at Romans chapter 12, verse 9-13. This is the Passion Translation. It says, let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another. Never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted to tender loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Now watch this. Try to outdo yourselves in respect, that's value, and honor of one another. They're two in the same. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion towards him boiling hot, radiant with the glow of the Holy Spirit. Let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. Let this hope burst forth within you. Release a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them and eagerly welcome people as guests into your homes. Now, this was really interesting to the church because Paul was dealing with an honor and or respect and value issue here. The importance of it was to the church as a whole, important as it was, you know, to respecting and the value that you give God. So value is the word value is the worth of something. So one definition is the equivalent of in goods, service, and exchange. The equivalent of in goods, service, or exchange. So what are you giving? What part of you do you give to the things in your life? The worth of something, the worth of someone. Okay, now honor here is really interesting. Honor here is one whose worth brings respect and fame. One whose worth brings respect and fame. It's recognition. It means the word recognition. It's the action of recognizing. So honor is how we respond. It's the knowledge and response to what exists or something or someone's presence. Let me say it again. It's the knowledge and response to what exists or something in someone's presence. It's to distinguish in a good way, in a healthy way. Seeing the quality or the state of people's quality. Now we talk about being a culture of value and honor. That means it's celebrating who someone is without stumbling over who they're not. Let me say it again. It's celebrating who someone is without stumbling over who they're not. And I think one of the greatest challenges is really embracing the power, value, and honor revelation, right? Especially when it comes to what God's doing and presence and concerning ours, concerning others. So sometimes we give value and honor to distant things, you know? Another preacher we're listening to, a book we're reading, and it's great, I love it. Those people that wrote those books deserve that. We'll give our time and our effort to that. We'll value and honor that more than the people God has placed in our life or what's happening right in front of us or within our community. And I wonder if how we define value and honor matches how God sees it. We give honor and value to something out there but miss what's right here, right? Now, this is not a victim message, okay? Every person is made in the image of God. Let's talk about value and honor. So every person deserves honor and value just on that truth, just on that level, just on based on the fact that you and I are made in the image of God. 1 Peter 2:17 begins with honor everyone. Why? Honor releases spiritual inheritance. Honor everyone. When you honor people, it enables them to step into spiritual inheritance, who God's called them to be, why God's called them, the purpose, the plan, the destiny. I love it. Hebrews 13:18, Paul said, pray for us, for we are sure what we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Paul's saying, I want to live in the truth of honor, right? Honestly with ourselves and others and what we do. So there's never a time not to value or to move in value and move in honor of another. I heard it said one time, how can an ungodly person write a beautiful song, design a beautiful building, paint a beautiful picture? The key is they're made in the image of God. And every person has a gift in them by God. So every person deserves honor and value, a lot of times just on simplistic three levels. Number one is the image of God they're created in. Number two is the gift that God has placed in them. And especially for believers, it's honoring them for the spirit that rests on them and in them. It's the anointing that God has placed on their life. When we reject people, it's always an honor and personal value issue that we have within ourselves. If we reject them and we're negative, it's our own honor issue. It's our own value issue. When we talk about others, we gossip, we're negative. When we're ignorant and we call it being truthful or our personality, right? Or just the way I am, or it's how I was raised. But yet we think we're giving people honor and value. We even can call it spiritual. And it's actually the opposite of that. It's we're living probably in our own lives being devalued and dishonored. So value and honor must be restored, not just in for me, but for the whole church, for our community. If you don't meet the standard, a lot of times what we have, you know, incorrect honor and value says, if you don't meet the standard of what I see or think as value or should be honored, I won't give it. I'm not going to give it to you. So now you moved in dishonor, devalue, you move in rejection, right? And that begin at Galatians 6:7, 2 Corinthians 7:6 talks about that actually affects our approach to the Father. Why? Whatsoever you sow, you reap. And you reap and sow according to the measure that you do it. It will come back to you, right? I'm the issue most time, not God. Jesus said in Luke 6:37, if you condemn, you'll be condemned. If you judge, you'll experience judgment. You'll reap a measure back to you. It's a measure. Listen, you'll always experience the measure in your harvest according to the measure that you're living in something. Right? So if you're already living in a healthy measure of honor and value, right, you'll be able to receive that. It'll come back to you. But if you're living in a standard of dishonor and devalue, that's what you'll receive. The word measure in this verse is powerful. It means the same portion or the standard. It's the value of your stature. But it also means this. Measure also means garment. I will clothe people with how I'm clothed. And I'm talking about my man, my spirit man, right? If you go through the Bible, you'll find all kinds of verses about the garments. Isaiah 6 and I think 15 or 13 is an example. It talks about the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If I'm wearing the garment of praise, I break the spirit of heaviness. What you're wearing right now, healthy or unhealthy, is what you'll clothe people with. Right? Right? And I wonder how many garments I'm wearing that are healthy, but yet I can wear a garment that's unhealthy. So this is interesting. So this reap and sowing is not God's punishment. It's simply just an obedience, a disobedience that we have to spiritual laws and principles that God has put in place for our lives because we're the soil. We get to choose. We get to manage the seed and the quality of the fruit that it produces. Right? So the two main spirits that attack a church with purpose and destiny is number one, religion, and number two, political. And a religious spirit and a political spirit has a high standard for dishonor and devalue. So number one, a religious spirit uses spiritual truths to attack the functions of God. It's based out of a self-righteous spirit, but disguises itself as spiritual and wise. So in John 8 and 1 and 20, we read the story of the harlot that was brought and thrown at Jesus' feet by the religious Pharisees. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's the easiest way to catch or discern a religious spirit? This is what I find the easiest way as a leader, as a pastor. Religious spirits pick up stones, right? Their intent to hurt the environment. Their intent is to hurt people. They will bring death to prove their own self-righteousness, their own holiness, their own promotion, right? Because they value themselves, they honor themselves more than others, right? It's very important for you to get this. The stone that they pick up is always their position. It's their stance, right? To reveal what doesn't meet their belief system. They focus on everything that's wrong until everything they see is wrong. Right? That's just a simple nutshell. I could preach a whole message on religious spirit. The political spirit is a desire for power and position. It's about somebody being seen, especially in the church world. And it actually operates in false honor and false value. Right? So here's what a political spirit does. And I hate to say this, and I pray for my leaders, but you can kind of see this in the world right now. A political spirit creates chaos and disunity and then walks away as if it had nothing to do with it. Walks away as if it didn't create it. Or they had nothing to do with it. It creates prejudice in the church, not honor and value. And it always points to people, not problems. It always points to people. We see it with election. It always points to, it doesn't matter the quality somebody has to run a country. It'll point to something they did in their past. It'll point to something that they just don't agree. And instead of honoring and saying, well, I don't see it that way. I feel like this is what the country needs. They allow what they've created with their words and their attitude to just take form in their absence. So what they've shared, I can share a negative with somebody in the church about somebody and then leave and act like I've had nothing to do. And in my absence, it creates fear and doubt and unbelief and disconnection and strife. The political spirit creates disunity, distance, to preserve their own reputation. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's really easy to see where people stand if you have a discernment, right? So this woman, she's caught in adultery, right? And she has this encounter with the kingdom of God, an encounter with Jesus, right? The political spirit, a religious spirit, is the law. Let me do what I think should be done, or I'll reject you, or I'll disconnect. And we're actually willing sometimes to sacrifice others at the cost of our own lack of value and honor. Right? Both these spirits focus on self. And here's what Jesus did. Jesus valued her so much that he didn't have to even use the priestly format for her to step into freedom. And I don't know what he wrote in the sand. I've heard a lot of things. I don't know what he wrote in the soil. But it revealed something in their own hearts. Right? This encounter released so much grace in the atmosphere that faith in Jesus became natural. What we do in honor and value releases something in the atmosphere. Right? A political and religious spirit's goal is to kill faith in what's happening. Right? So this was an act of love, an act of value, and an act of honor. And grace is the atmosphere for great faith. It created this love and grace. Grace is the root of value and honor. Where there is no grace, listen to me, there's no value and honor if you don't have grace for people. Now, most of us have this denominational church model in our brains. Even if you've never been in church or a part of a church, it's been there. It's been put in your thinking by what you've been told or what you've just seen. Our missions are formed on agreed truth of our own, which means a lot of times if you no longer agree with me, you have to leave, right? So we don't create a grace atmosphere. We create a dishonor, disvalue atmosphere, right? So what's happening in the moment of God right now is not just greater truth. It's to come together as people and create an environment of honor and value so presence and grace and faith can be and love can move. It's the atmosphere the Holy Spirit wants to create, right? So it becomes more valuable and honor than just what we think or what we already know, right? So in a value and honorable community with presence, we can have all kinds of opinions, but it never changes the value or the honor that we're family. I have a family, a lot of brothers and sisters. I think there's 8 of us. One of those is a stepbrother. And when we would get together, we all had different opinions. We all had different views, but we would never let them rob us of we're family. And I value and honor you for whatever that looks like. Why? Because diversity is one of the conditions of a culture of honor and value. Diversity. Look at your marriage. Right? If you've got diversity in your marriage, it enables you to celebrate and honor and value the uniqueness of the person that you've married. Whenever you try to change your spouse to become like you, what you want or think they should be, what you'll end up with many times is rejection, disconnection, and disunity. And maybe you're shaping the value of what your parents' marriage looked like. And it may have been great. Maybe it was not so great. Right? And it turns into passive, aggressive or passive-aggressive relationship or atmosphere, not a grace atmosphere. So even if you don't agree with something, to value the person and honor them is the operation of the love and grace of God in the Father's eyes. Right? It's a greater desire for God. Huh? What we really have when we honor and value God, not just the ability to look good outside of God or have God in the ability to look good. The problem comes when we justify where there's dishonor and a lack of value. And we give our words and we give our attitudes and we give our thinking permission to create life or death in that area. Right? We have to give place to the enemy. He just can't step in and take it. We do it with our actions, our motives, our negativity. We do it with our truth, our positive perspective, our good actions, and or gossip or truth, whatever we do. So we can fall into a place where our tongues, our languages, our actions become one of dishonor and devaluing of others. If you can't value and honor someone with your words, your actions, or your outlook, don't step into that. Don't even use that. Why? Because you increase, verse 20 in Proverbs 18, you increase a lot of times with what's on your lips, your speech, your language, your boundaries. The issue here is fruit. What you're living with, what you're eating now, it's the fruit of your mouth. And this word mouth means to bind the seed to produce proper fruit. Sometimes we bind seed, we bind the planting of a new tree, we bind the new fruit simply because we lose the value of what honor and value looks like. And we're kind of like that fairy tale story. Hey, take a bite of this beautiful onion that tastes like an apple. And you know it's not true and you know it's not real. Right? So whatever's been planted in you already is growing. Right? Whatever that is. And if you feed it, right? When I hear something, that one of the things I determine about honor and value is, does it taste yucky or yummy? Does it create peace or fear? Is it unity or disunity? Was it done proper or improper? Right? You got to make sure that you not just give it, but you protect it. Because that seed is already going in you. If you feed it or allow it to grow or accept it into the soil, you'll produce the fruit of that seed in your life. Let me just tell you, that according to Proverbs 16, 6:16-19 and James 3:13-18, James 4:1-3, 1 Corinthians 12, I mean, there's things that God doesn't like, right? And so we have to discern spirits. We're not judging people. We never judge people's motives or intentions. But we can ask God to help us discern, give us insight and understanding, right? Because we want to make a difference. We want to dispute things that are not truth, that don't line up with the heart of God, right? To recognize and identify with our eyes, our senses, our emotions, our knowledge, right? The Acts Church used discernment to empower a positive spirit, to empower the Holy Spirit to move and block out any spirit that would try to engage and lead them away from that. So usually for me, it's recognizing what the Holy Spirit is saying to me about what I'm listening to, what seeds being thrown out. I'm not judging people. I'm going to love people well, right? I'm not looking for the negative. When I look at people, I'm actually looking for the Spirit of God and the positive. Because how will the world know us? The world will know us by how we love one another. So with the gifts in the Bible, we have a tendency to see the negative first. Why? Because we estimate what it will cost us at that moment. We embrace kind of fear or faith. The inability not to recognize what spirit has power over our lives is not for rejection. It's for healing, acceptance, grace, love, restoration. Huh? It's to point to truth and freedom. So when I treat things with honor and value, and I'll give you an example. It'd be like somebody coming up to me wanting to talk to me about something about somebody else, but it's not concerning me. Right off the bat, they've stepped off wrong, because the Bible says if you have aught against your brother or sister, go to them. That should have been their first place. So I have a choice to say, yeah, let me listen to you. Or have you spoken to so-and-so? I tell you what, speak to them. If it doesn't resolve, you know, I'd gladly sit down with you guys and talk. So if we don't embrace proper truth, you see, the church to some degree is a greenhouse. So we tend seed, we give seed, we enhance the soil. Our goal is to grow the plant with the Spirit for healthy fruit to grow, for you to be encountered, to encounter with healthy fruit, and the healthy fruit that you encounter to equip other people. That's what the fivefold gifts is about, Ephesians 4:11-16. Equip is to furnish for service or action or make ready or prepare. It's preparation. So value and honor and grace are a big part of the greenhouse, a place where every person finds their value in God. Doesn't mean that we always get to do what we want. You just don't have permission to speed because you're late, right? You know, you don't have permission to do that because there's a principle in place. Sometimes we can do this with presence, our giving, our money, our giftings, our commitment, our serving. We can use it to manipulate, and it's dishonoring and devaluing where we are or the person that God's placed as leadership over our lives. So these are preventive truths for a healthy greenhouse. When we focus on celebration, connection, involvement, not observing, the spirit of discerning value and honor, any other spirit that's not right, is not about me sitting back and observing. is celebrating who the Father is and who each of us are. This is a culture where the supernatural actually gets released. It becomes natural. When we get into observation, we just become about inspection. And if you look at something long enough that's negative, you'll see everything that's negative. A spectator's not in the game. They're just watching. They're just looking on. They're looking for the imperfect, right? They're looking for the rules, the customs, the dress code, right? If we can be trusted with valuing and honoring and preserving the reputation of others, then we can be trusted with his reputation. I believe that's what the parable of the talents is about. The realm of the kingdom opens in a greater way with people that can be trusted with value and honor. Right? And sometimes we fight that. We fight it. Presence is always an invitation. It's not a forced issue. 2 Timothy 2 and 21, and I'm about to close. So whoever cleanses himself for it is ignoble or unclean and separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influence will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. I love this because this is a powerful verse. Something happens here. Something happened in this story in 2 Timothy for this scripture to be written down for the church. I think Bill Johnson said one time, you will always reflect the nature of the world you're the most aware of. People will release the reality of the world they are most aware of, good or bad, negative or positive, honor or dishonor, value or devalue, right? And bad always begins with believing a lie, and good always begins with believing a truth. So if we don't embrace truth in areas of our life, we become susceptible, capable of submitting to an action or a process or an operation of a lie. That's what happens when you accept anything that puts its permission on dishonor and devalue. What you end up with is depression, disconnection, isolation, negativity, discouragement. Because you believed something that's not of the Father's nature. Truth is to a lie what light is to darkness. And the greatest way to affect your surrounding is partnership with truth. And value and honor is the atmosphere in which we embrace truth and we actually become our best. Right? And it's funny because honor and value is really about us. But actually, it's about other people. So we don't want to live with just acts of honor because we have those. We'll honor you if, we'll value if. We're called to a life of honor and value. The word life means a state. When we live in a state, this creates an atmosphere that enables us to grow for all good things. And honor and value is actually a response to love. To dishonor and devalue people declares that you don't love them to some degree. The word dishonor means to abase, to cheapen, to degrade, to demean, discredit, disgrace, humiliate, to lower, to shame, to take down. We are called to walk in the principle of love, right? An attitude, that needs to be the attitude and the structure for us. We're to pull people out of darkness and out of lies and convince them that honor and value are powerful, that they're honorable, that they have value. And we're to live that lifestyle, not walk in darkness, not walk in judgment, not walk in condemnation. We don't want to just have acts of honors. To be our best, we have to be a people that live in a lifestyle of honor. So when we live in honor, God opens up more of his personality and more of his person and his experience of love and grace and all that's powerful to him because we can be trusted with it. He knows you'll give the proper response of love correctly. Once we leave the concept of family, we leave the concept of the kingdom. And false humility will keep us from our destinies. True humility will lead us to them. I've learned this past year that I'm being stretched to grow. You'll only grow at the level you're willing to change or be stretched. Reaching out to the fullness of the Spirit will cause you to be stretched beyond your current situations. Habakkuk 3:7-19. Though the fig tree may blossom, nor fruit be on its vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Watch this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk, listen to this, on the high hills. Job 13:15. Job said this, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Now let me give you what thought and yet mean in these verses. They actually define our evolution or growth in the realm of trust and faithfulness, in the realm of honor and value, in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Though means in spite of. In spite of. In spite of. Yet means because of who God really is. I will pursue him personally, not the outcome that he can generate. A lot of times we pursue God for the outcome, not him personally. So relationship with him is worth more, listen, than the resolution of your problems. Most of our battles define what we trust and what we're faithful to. Honor and value are two truths that help us stay in the though and the yet process of growth together. Every believer needs stretch marks. I've already got some. They define the quality of our obedience and our willingness to trust God and follow the Father. You'll only grow at the level you're willing to change. And God is a God of honor and value. The unwillingness to change and follow that can be painful and messy. So a truth that is not practiced denies God the right to upgrade your experience with and of him. Let me say it again. A truth that is not practiced denies God the right to upgrade your experience with and of him. And I often wonder about sometimes when we judge preaching, we judge words, we judge people, we judge motives. Sometimes if the sacrifice of praise is offering up an incorrect attitude, our own judgments, our own condemnation, where we're devaluing, where we're dehonoring, and we let go of those things in the presence of God and start recognizing who people are and honoring them for they're created in the image of God, honoring them for the gift that is in them, honoring them for this, what the Spirit of God is doing in their life. They may not be where we're at. They may be beyond us. Who knows? But we have to get to the place where we live in this truth and we practice this truth of value and honor so God can upgrade our experience with him. And we can discover who we are as we practice discovering how God wants to see who others are. May the Lord bless you with this word today.